So I'd like to say something tonight about bringing community on the path of community. Da, da, da. So I mentioned a little earlier that in January we've got our rainy season retreat. This rainy season retreat, it's for mitras and order members. So I'd like to say a bit about what that is, just the nuts and bolts of that, and then also explore this question of what does it mean to join a community and why bother? Why bother? And if one chose to do that, like I have chosen to do that, what does that path look like? Why is it beneficial and challenging and humiliating and all of that good stuff and transformative at times? This is the San Francisco Buddhist Center. We are a spiritual community, so we welcome all. And there's probably about 50-ish, 50, 60-ish people who are very regular in their participation here. And then there's a much wider circle of people who tend to come and go. You know, they'll be around for a few months, and they'll disappear for, in Morgan's case, about 15 years. And then some people will suddenly magically reappear. Other people we just never hear from again. So there's this wider circle of people who also constellate around this community on a wider orbit. So what can happen is if you find a sense of connection with the people here and with this community, and the desire arises to deepen that connection, you can ask to become what's called a mitra. So this word mitra, it just translates as friend. So there is what's called a mitra sangha. So there's about 40 mitras in this community. There's a very simple ritual associated with this. And then if one continues on this path and feels the desire to make an even deeper commitment, one can ask to become an order member. Then there's an ordination training process associated with that. And there's also an ordination ceremony associated with that. That's when one would receive a new name. So Viradhamma is actually the person who ordained me into this tradition. And he's also the one who gave me my name. So in the Triratna Buddhist order, like this, these are our robes. There it is. It's very simple. Yes. So why bother? Why bother joining a community? What's the point? What's the value of it? Well, it's quite interesting being an order member. So I'll just speak about my experience of being an order member. Something very similar is true for being a mitra within a community of other mitras. So as an order member, I have this very strong sense of kinship and solidarity and like-mindedness and shared values with a group of people, a shared framework of practice, a shared commitment towards practice, and actually a shared commitment towards friendship. So there is a trust that is naturally and freely given. And if I juxtapose that with some of my other relationships outside of the Sangha, I tend to be quite cautious about extending the hand of trust. And within this community, I actually extend the hand of trust very freely and very openly. So it's very interesting that, trust. In terms of being in a community, it's quite an interesting juxtaposition with our normal state of being in the world, which is one of isolation. So this modern society that we live in, this modern Western society, it's so incredibly atomized. It's so isolating. Like, we all live in our own little homes. We have our own little rooms, our own little boxes. We have our own stuff. We have our own wants. And this is what I want. This is me. And don't get in my way and that sort of thing. It's a very isolating experience. And it's very interesting. I just spent a month on retreat in England living communally with a group of 14 people. And I shared a room with another person, another order member by the name of Arthur Baden. I have not shared a room with another person like that in 30 years, since college. And I remember going, thinking, oh, I think I'm going to need my space. I'm not sure how I'm going to deal with this. But it turned out I actually loved it. I loved the experience of living communally. There was a shared kitchen, you know, shared housing, and we were all meditating together. We were all practicing together. And there was something so delightful about it. And I actually remember when I came home after this month, back to my house, it felt so strange to be in my house all by myself. So I felt so isolated. Then I realized, oh wait, this is normal. It's kind of crazy. At least that's the way it felt. So joining a community is a wonderful way to find connection with others. Because actually this is a really important aspect of the Buddhist path, is that according to Buddhism, this idea that we're separate beings is actually a misunderstanding. And according to Buddhism, the truth of the matter is we're actually deeply interconnected. That to care for each other, to love each other, is actually a completely natural way of being in the world. But somehow we have forgotten that. So of course, community offers this. However, community can also be a hindrance to this as well, the sense of solidarity with others. So what I mean by this is that Buddhism invites us to cultivate a sense of solidarity with all beings, particularly the beings we don't like, particularly the beings who do not share our values, and particularly the beings who have values that are antithetical towards ours. So it's very interesting being in a community because it's actually very easy to like people that we like. It's quite easy to do that. Not so easy when we come across difficult people. So what can happen when we join a community is we can move away from this sense of like, oh, it's me, this isolated being. It's me against the world, me against them. And we can enter into a community and feel a sense of community with others. Oh, wow, I found my people. I found my tribe. And then me against the world can become us against the world. So this is tribalism. So there's still this adversarial relationship with what we consider to be our people and the forces out there which we consider to be other. This is tribalism. And what we're actually looking for, what we're actually cultivating, is a sense of solidarity with all beings. It's a very, very tall order. So the thing about being in a community is it offers the opportunity to train, to cultivate this skill of being in solidarity with other beings. So this is quite interesting in terms of even the people that we like, right? When I said this, it's easy to like people that you like. It's actually a lot more nuanced than that. So I've been thinking a lot about this idea of harmony. So when one becomes ordained in this tradition, there are a set of ordination vows that one takes. And one of these vows has to do with harmony. And it goes something like this. In harmony with companions on the path, I accept this ordination. I've noticed in my experience that there are depths of harmony with others that are unexplored. And perhaps actually I will say that I tend to avoid. So I've noticed this in many of my relationships. I actually think this is totally normal in terms of the way that people relate to each other. Right? Is you can meet someone, you find a sense of connection. Oh, this is great. Let's be friends. Yeah, this is awesome. And then at some point, maybe you'll rub up against each other. You'll bump up against each other. You know, something, conversation goes awry. Maybe you start talking about politics or something like that. And it just... the conversation goes south. It's like, ooh, I'm not going there. Right? And then there can be these little skull and crossbones that arise, these no-go zones. Oh yeah, I'm really good friends with so-and-so, as long as we don't talk about this and this and this. Same thing over here. So I noticed that I've got these areas with certain people which I will tend to avoid, certain topics. And it's interesting when I explore this notion of harmony that, that's because I want to remain harmonious. So I'll just avoid any possibility of disharmony. So I've noticed that over the years that there's something around this tendency that I have that is calling my attention. There's something here for me to explore, and there's an opportunity for me here to transform and actually enter into a more authentic relationship with others, a more honest relationship with others. It's very interesting, harmony. So I feel as if this harmony, in a way, it's not really harmony, especially if that energy just simply gets blocked and I just stay there. So I mentioned that I was on this month-long retreat in October with a group of 14 people. I wanted to share one of the experiences that we did on this retreat, and it had to do with receiving feedback. Yeah. So what we were all invited to do was, in preparation for this month-long training, we were all invited to ask people in our local situations who know us well to give us feedback. Yeah. So I invited 6 people here in this community in San Francisco to fill out a little form. So the form was very simple. What do you consider to be this person's strengths? What do you consider to be this person's weaknesses? And a couple other prompts of that nature. Yeah. So I received this written feedback from 6 different people. And then what we did on this retreat was we actually spent 2 entire days exploring this. I thought 2 days was like, really? 2 days to do this? So what we did was, on the first day, we spent the entire day looking at this feedback we had all received from different people. And the first step was to sort of collate it into a single list. And then we gathered in pairs and we shared the contents of our feedback with a partner. So what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And I found a really interesting question, a line of inquiry, was, are there any weaknesses that are not on this list, that other people did not notice? Things you keep so close to your heart that other people who are close to you don't even know about it. So I found that was a really provocative prompt. So then we reviewed this again in larger groups. So we just kept diving deeper and deeper and deeper, kind of clarified our strengths and weaknesses. And then on the second day, we started exploring, what can we do to stand in our strengths and to improve upon our weaknesses? So that was a prompt. But really the focus, what did unfold for most people, was really this, working with, how can I improve upon my weaknesses? And again, we spent an entire day doing this, sharing with each other action plans. What can I do? And then having our friends ask us kind of probing questions. Well, have you thought about this? Have you considered that? So 2 days. Now, I'd like to share something about how this exercise impacted me. Well, first of all, I found it to be really humiliating. So it turned out that all 6 of these people, with regards to my weaknesses, they all more or less said the same thing. And what they said to me was no surprise. So it's not like I didn't know it. But it was just one of these kind of like, oh yeah, yeah. Something that I ignore. Something that I keep at the periphery. So I came up with this little image of, I've got what I like to call my whatever bucket. So here's my whatever bucket. Oh, whatever. Put it in the whatever bucket. It's stuff that I don't want to look at. Stuff that I consciously avoid and ignore. So I'd actually like to share with you what it is that these six people said about me and this thing that I know. So one person said this, which really cut quite deep to the bone. Oh, Dhanadasa, you know, sometimes when I'm with you and you're sharing an idea with me, so I have a very active imagination, and sometimes I can feel like just this big idea will arise in my mind, and I'll just get really excited about it, and I'll think about all the possibilities of it. And then I'll get together with people, and I'll just start telling them about this big idea that I've got. Blah, 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 I've got this big idea, and da-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee. And this person said to me, you know, Dhanadasa, I really appreciate how inspired you can get. However, sometimes I feel like when you're sharing your big ideas with me, I have to brace myself. You know? I feel that there's no room for me. I feel that you're just talking at me. Yeah. And when I read this, I was like, oh. I felt so humiliated. And yet I knew exactly what they were talking about, exactly what they were pointing at. So there was something about requesting this feedback and receiving it from six different people, the same feedback, people I care deeply about, that somehow galvanized me to act. Yeah. Galvanized me just to say to myself internally, you know what? This is not okay. I'm not okay with this avoiding game. So I took this out of my whatever bucket, and it's still out of my whatever bucket, and I'm taking a very close look at this. So feedback, it's really interesting, giving and receiving feedback. So feedback is a path. I've been thinking a lot about this. I very much want to be of service to others. I want to be helpful to others. I want to give to others. Yeah. However, it's clear to me that sometimes my actions do not have that effect on others. Sometimes my actions actually have the opposite effect of being unhelpful. Yeah. And sometimes I know it and sometimes I don't. So actually what I've decided to do is with the people who I trust, who I'm close with, if I feel a conversation is kind of going a little and I start to wonder, I wonder how my actions were impacting that person. So in the past, I would just go, I'm sure it's fine, whatever, it's fine. I'm no longer willing to do that now. So if I want to know how my actions are impacting others, it's actually quite straightforward. What needs to happen is I need to ask. So actually this happened last night. I was having a conversation with Shunyamala last night. And there was a little bit there that felt a little bit sandpapery. You know, that kind of feeling? It wasn't one of these. Just kind of more of a graze, if you will. So I decided to ask her about it. I just said to her, you know, Shunyamala, I was wondering if I could ask you about how that conversation felt for you. Because I wanted to share with you how it felt for me. I felt like I wasn't sure if I was perhaps being a little too critical. I just wasn't sure. And I want to do better. Yeah. I want to be helpful. And I'm not sure if I was. And she confirmed my intuitive sense of, So it was just so lovely to be able to communicate with Shunyamala much more authentically. And she stepped right into it. She reciprocated. She was very honest with me about how that conversation felt for her. And it brought us closer. Something really beautiful about it. So in terms of feedback, it's an opportunity to get information such that we can transform our behaviors. And I think even more interesting, it's an opportunity to take a close look at our fight or flight tendency. Yeah. It's a really excellent opportunity to take a very close look at our self-image of who we want to be, the persona that we want to project outwards to the world. Look at me, I'm such a good person, and all this good stuff. And when we project out this image of who we want to be, our internal experience oftentimes does not match that image of the good Buddhist or whatever it may be. So there's something that's being left out. There's something that's being cut off. So the path of Buddhist practice is this path of stepping into greater and greater authenticity. Authenticity with ourselves and in relationship to others, authenticity with others. So fight or flight, it can be very challenging to receive feedback. Yeah. It's kind of, could you give me some feedback? Here comes the feedback. It's like, well, hold on there. Wait a second. I'm not so good. It's kind of, So some people are predisposed to fight. Some people are predisposed to flight. I'm not sure which I'm predisposed to, but I certainly recall a number of times where I definitely fight, and a number of times where I definitely run away. So I can go either way, but wherever I go all in fight, all in flight. So of course, Buddhism is also referred to as the middle way, right? So what is that middle way between fight or flight? Well, in terms of this receiving negative feedback or critical feedback, just kind of noticing internally this arising of like, ooh, I don't like the way this feels. Ooh, I don't like the way that this looks. You know, this person is forcing me to look at something in my whatever bucket. Come on, can't you see I've got a whatever? That's in my whatever bucket. That's off limits. You're not supposed to go there. So whatever these feelings that are arising, these narratives that are arising, the path of practice for me is to recognize that all things arise, all things fade away. So I can actually stay with this experience of discomfort and not run away from it. And I can stay with this experience of discomfort and not defend something. So it's very interesting, this experience of fighting. And I like to ask this question of, what is it that I'm defending? What is it? It's what I want. That's what I'm defending. And from a Buddhist perspective, to defend what I want rigorously and inflexibly is actually a formula for creating suffering for ourselves and others. So I love this this one description of the liberated mind, the mind which is completely free. It's this word malleable or flexible. Yeah. So the liberated mind is flexible, is malleable. It's able to receive whatever is given with kindness and with grace. So this all comes back to this theme of bringing everything onto the path. So this is what I'm pointing at in terms of bringing community onto the path, or perhaps to put it a little differently, community as path. Yeah. So we've got about 15 more minutes. So I think I'm done talking. I've been talking all day. I'm kind of tired of it. So what I'd like to invite us all to do is I'd like us to break up into groups of three, and we'll just have a conversation about our relationship to community and community as path. And if you're up for it, you could also explore what is it, if anything, are there things that you are ignoring that are preventing you from stepping into community more wholeheartedly?